Man, look at you. Thank you for being here. It is my pleasure and my honor to stand before you today. It's so wonderful. There are two kinds of churches, quiet and alive. And I know which one I want to go to. Thank you for being here. We are a church of very different people. I talk to preachers from time to time, and they talk about, I got the same 30 people that have been coming here for 50 years. North Second Street doesn't have people coming here for 5 years. We're the most changed over church I've ever been a part of. But I'll tell you, there's something wonderful about that. And it appeals to me personally. There's nothing like working with a new Christian. There's nothing like working with someone who's not studied their Bible for, who's not considered salvation, who's not done those things, and then comes to faith in Christ Jesus and becomes a Christian. Does it take a little bit more work on the behalf of Bible class teachers and elders and deacons? Yes. Yes, it does. But it is wonderful. And it's a wonderful thing to come and stand before you today. Speaking of wonderful things, I don't know that Alva had any idea that he was leading a great song for this. But how can we know something about God by that? That's beautiful. That's Yellowstone Park. If you've never been there, it's just an unbelievable place. That's part of the Rocky Mountains that runs through there. Title of our lesson today is, how can we get to know God? How can we get to know God? Well, there are three ways that we're going to talk about this morning specifically. We're going to talk about what's called general revelation, specific revelation, and then we're going to deal with our third point, which is human revelation. Maybe not in the way that you think of it. But this is Yellowstone Park, and let me ask you this. Is there a God? There is a God. There is a God who created these things. We look around and we can know that there is a God. That pool that you're looking at, by the way, is almost 400 feet wide. And that's beautiful. We couldn't make that in a million years. We would never think of making that. All these pictures are from Yellowstone, by the way. This is just kind of a side view of that thing. These are called mud pots. And there are different minerals and different algae that grow in these things. And Yellowstone is just a remarkable place. But they help us know about God. And how can we know God? How can we know God when no one has seen God? The Bible tells us, I know you because I see you. I talk to you. We interact in some way. How can I get to know God? We're going to talk about this morning. 1 John chapter 4 is our kind of our overall text. No one has seen God. So if no one has seen God, how do we know about Him? Let me ask you this question. Did it ever occur to you that without the Bible, we would have no idea how to worship God? The Bible is God's will revealed to us. How would we behave? How would we agree on what God wants? How would we do anything? How would we know right from wrong? It would be up for debate. What would we do to be saved? Would we even know about salvation? Would we know about eternal life? Almost certainly no to all those questions. But we do know about those things because God revealed Himself to us. God wanted us to know, and He let Himself be known to us. Psalm 19 and verse 1 is a... I apologize, I skipped the screen there. Psalm 19, verse 1 is a verse you're familiar with, I'm sure. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." I just showed you pictures that prove in their own way that there is a God. But they tell us something about God. Does God love beauty? Yes. Does God allow the creative process? Does He allow people to have free will? Also, yes. The creation declares that by itself. We can know things about God just by looking around. Wendy and I yesterday were sitting around in the drizzling rain. We were under a porch. And we were watching the different kinds of birds. And we thought about evolution. And how evolution does not have enough millions of years in there. When you see a certain bird in a certain color, and you realize how different they are in so many different ways. And I thought about the idea of there was a chipmunk and a squirrel. Forgive me, this is a little free association here. A chipmunk, I don't know how much bigger a squirrel is than a chipmunk. Let's say it's 5 times bigger. It's quite a bit bigger. Imagine just for a moment that there were human beings that were 25 foot tall and weighed 800 pounds. And then someone would come to us and say, oh, you know, that just happened to have genetic mutations over a couple of years, and you got that difference. No, brother. You need a lot more years than you got to find that much variety. But what you do see is God, and you see thought. And in a way, you see joy. You see beauty. The heavens declare the handiwork of God because they are beautiful. God wanted us to see these things and to ask the question, who is this God? Who created this? And then does not only ask the question, but seek and crawl our way and reach for Him, Paul says in Acts chapter 17. Romans chapter 1, if you've got your Bible, turn over there for just a moment. We've got at least two passages that come from the same place. Romans chapter 1 says this very thing. No one has seen God, but God has revealed Himself to us in a way that we all can understand. I'll start in verse 19, Romans 1, 19. Romans 1 and verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them. You might ask yourself, how is that? Because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, God has not been seen, namely His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. It should be plain to anyone who thinks about it for 10 seconds that there is a God. And not only that there is a God, but He is divine. And God loves us. A lot of people ask the question, well, when we talk about Christianity, we know that we have the Bible, we have the revelation of God, we know His Word, we can do what He has to do. But what about that person out there who's never seen a Bible? The Bible deals with that. God deals with that. Turn over a page to Romans chapter 2. God has not only revealed Himself to man, but God can know things about him. Man can know things about God by His revelation. They should know that there is a God and that I should desire to please Him. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 through 16 reads like this. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law, so we're talking about people that don't have the written revelation of God, for when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them, on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of man by Christ Jesus. The Bible says to the man who knows what is good and doesn't do it, it is sin. Turn that sentence inside out. To the man who doesn't have the written revelation to know for certain what God wants to do is good, he knows what is good by an innate sense of right and wrong. And he looks out and he knows that there is a God and he knows he should please Him. And if that's his level of revelation, you know what he needs to do? He needs to keep his conscience clean and do what he knows. The more he learns, the more he should do. The more he learns, the more he should do. But all of us could take a great example from the person that doesn't have the law, doesn't have a Bible, but knows there's a God and says, this God must be pleased. I will do what I think is pleasing to this God. Now, we're not in that class of people. We have been highly favored by the revelation of God. God has given us instruction. But the same principle applies. The man who does not have the law but knows what is right to do is to do it. The man who does have the word, the woman who does have the word, is to do it. It is our responsibility. So God can be known, and we can know that we should seek to please Him. We can look out at this world and think to ourselves, there must be a God, and if He loves me enough to send something so beautiful, shouldn't I want to please Him? So God reveals Himself through what is called general revelation or through the creation. But this is a lesson about Scripture. Do you love your Bible? Do you love that God has given you the Bible? If you don't, I want you to. Because what we have is a lack of confusion, a lack of being left as an orphan. We don't have to wonder what God wants in worship. We don't have to wonder what we need to do to be saved. We don't need to wonder about how we can have eternal life, or even if there is eternal life, or if there's a heaven. We know all those things, not because of general revelation, but because of specific revelation from God to man. When I read my Bible, it is God telling me about Him. And if I want to get to know God, if I want to have a relationship with God, I will get to know Him by finding things out. Young people today stalk people in ways that us old people did not. If you wanted to stalk people before, you're probably in danger of being arrested. If you want to stalk people today, what do? You get on social media. What are you doing? Maybe you ask your friends about it. Maybe you ask their friends about it. What are you doing? You want to know about them because you like them. You want to know what pleases them. You want to know where they go, what they do. When you want to have a personal relationship with someone, you go and you find things that you can know about them so you can please them. God is the same way. Do I want to have a relationship with God that is at peace? Do I want to know that I'm doing the will of God? Then I need to stalk His social media. Now, God's social media is not Twitter. God's social media is the revealed Word of God. God has revealed Himself to us. We can know about God. We can know about His worship and His will and eternal life and salvation because God has been pleased to give it to us. Take a look at John chapter 14 and verse 18. I love this phrase. Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans." For those of you who know the context of John chapter 14, Jesus is about to be crucified. He's about to leave this world. And He's telling His apostles, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit as a helper to you. Don't worry, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you in a situation where you don't know what to do. I will not leave you as spiritual orphans." Verse 25 continues the thought, John 14, 25. John 14, 25 reads like this, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." God sent His Son, the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit brought to mind to the apostles all the things Christ had taught and done. And then they wrote those things down so that we could know God. Jesus knew God because He was from the Father, because He was from heaven, because He was God. And when He left, He sent God in the Spirit to His apostles to make sure that they taught and revealed the things accurately about their Father. What a blessing that God, through His Holy Spirit, made sure we are not orphans. That His precious Word has been preserved down through the ages for us. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. This is a verse we usually use, and rightfully so, to talk about the inspiration of the Bible. And there's no doubt about that. But what I want you to see here is that we have the words made more sure. What does that mean? It means I can take the Bible in my hand and I can know that it is the revealed will of Jehovah God. If that doesn't change your perspective about the Bible, if that doesn't make you more grateful to have the written Word of God, I don't know what else does. God has given us His will and His mind, and He has told us who He is. 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. "Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture came from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now, we talk about inspiration, and we talk about that quite a bit, but I want you to look at this phrase that says, "was ever produced by the will of man." When I read my Bible, and we say this, and it's not wrong to say, Paul wrote, or Peter said, or whatever the case may be, that may be. They may be the hand that wrote on the page, but it was God's Spirit who gave them the words. It was God's Spirit who literally guided the pen, so that what they wrote down was not what they thought, not what they decided, but what God wanted us to know. God revealed Himself through the written Word. I was listening to a podcast this week that talked about the fact that everybody says newspapers are dead, and let's be honest, in a lot of ways they are. But do you know that almost everything we know in this world, we talk about social media and video and TikToks and all the things that happen. Do you know that almost anything of consequence starts with the written word? Somebody wrote it down somewhere, and that's how it's communicated. In fact, if you think about social media, other than the pictures and the videos, if I know something about somebody, I read it. It's how we understand. It's how we know things. And God used that written word to reveal Himself to us. And then the apostles wrote it down for us. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. So Jesus, remember, lives a perfect sinless life. He does the miracles. And then He tells His apostles, I'm going away, but don't worry about that. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Why? He's going to remind you of everything that I've done and lead you into all truth. Well, that's great and everything. If I live around Peter or I live around John or I live around Paul, what good does that do me now? It does me good now because God even inspired the writing down of those things the Spirit reminded the apostles. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 is one of my favorite texts for this purpose. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by spoken word or by our letter. If you were in Bible class this morning, we did a lot of studying about the spoken word. Did you realize that? Did you realize that we talked about what Peter said there? What Peter said was recorded, written down. What Paul and Barnabas said was recorded and written down. What James said was recorded and written down. Those things were given to us in spoken word and by letter. We call all those little books of the Bible in between Revelation and Romans epistles, right? Of letters. They are the things the apostles wrote to us in letters. The book of Acts is the things that they said and did, written down and recorded for us. We can know the mind of God because the apostles that had the mind of God either spoke it to us in recorded sermons or wrote it down in letters. What a wonderful thing. I don't have to guess at what this great God wants from me. I don't have to look out in this world and wonder and go, I wonder what God thinks about that. How did God do that? God has revealed those things to us, and they've been written down for us, and we have them today. How important is that? If you see Romans 10, 17 up there, and you wonder, why? Well, that seems like an odd verse for this. It's not at all. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the word of Christ. Peter's not walking the earth today. James and John are not walking the earth today. Paul is not walking the earth today. How then can I have faith? How then can I know about Jesus? I need to believe to be saved. How can that occur? I have to hear it. Hear it. How does someone know what to say? How does someone know what to preach? Because of the revealed will of God, the written word. All those things on the screen, the heading is not from God. But all those other things are just God speaking to you. If you come to faith and you become a Christian, it's not because of anything I have decided. It's the things that the Holy Spirit gave the apostles, that they said them or wrote them down, and then I preach it to you. I don't know what you think my sermons look like. You can ask Miss Shirley. She's hiding back there. She takes my notes. Ask her what's on them. I always kind of feel bad for someone to ask me my notes on a sermon because all that's on here is a list of scriptures and headings. That's just about it. In fact, most of what you see behind me is what I preach from. I'm preaching to you the Word of God. The written Word of God turned into sermon. The foolishness of preaching is how God decided to save mankind. It is His will. So when you come to faith, you come to faith because someone preached to you from the Word of God. How important is the Bible? How important is that revealed will of God? If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, what if there's no Word of God? There's no faith. there's no salvation. It is important because we need it. It is important because God loved us enough to send it and have us know what it means and what it says. Real quickly, John chapter 20, verse 30. John says this about his own gospel. John chapter 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. No written word, no faith, no faith, no eternal life. God has revealed Himself through creation. He has revealed Himself specifically to us through His written word. But there's one other way in which God has revealed Himself to us. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. Jesus is what God would do if He were in a pickle. Jesus is what God would do if someone struck you on the cheek first. Jesus is what God's heart is. Jesus is who God's Spirit is. Jesus is what would happen if God lived and walked among us. How do I know that? Because I know Jesus in His life. John chapter 1 and verse 18. We started our lesson with 1 John. This is the Gospel of John, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, the only God, but who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. Jesus made God known to us. The same chapter, chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Be a good name for a radio show. God made Himself known to us by sending His Son. We can know what God is in a special way because of the life of Jesus. Jesus is a walking fountain of forgiveness. Jesus is true. Jesus cannot be denied. How true is Jesus? He never sinned. Jesus never sinned. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 reads like this. Therefore He, that's Christ, had to be made like His brothers, that's you and I, in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. What would happen if God lived among us? Jesus is the answer to that question. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. God in the flesh. Matthew 26 and 53. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and He will not once send me more than 12 legions of angels? That verse is only important if you understand the context of it. Jesus has had the Last Supper. Judas has betrayed Him into the hands of evil men. Jesus has gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. He has prayed that, Lord, this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but Yours. And then they come for Jesus. And Peter takes out his dagger and he cuts off the ear of a man. And Jesus says, that's enough. I want to tell you what God would do in this situation, Peter. God would not destroy. God would give His life. There's a world out there that needs salvation. There are men and women and children that may never know the truth about God unless I do this one thing. They may never be called unless I am lifted up. Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will call all men to me. The cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. How do I know about God? Because God went to the cross for me. And He didn't have to. How do I know that? Because Jesus says, you know I could call legions of angels. I could stop this little rabble mob right now. But a God who loved us enough is a God who sacrifices. A God who's willing to give the best that He can give, the best that there is, so that I might have salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2. Oops. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 through 24. I don't worry about it. I do wonder if you think I use this verse too much. I use it a lot because it's great, because it says so much. How do I know what God would be like in the flesh? Because Jesus lived in the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Did Jesus need to die? No. Did Jesus need to be punished? No. Did Jesus need a slap on the hand? No. Did Jesus even need a stern talking to? No. Yet he suffered death, even death on the cross. He's not the one who had sin. I'm the one who had sin. He committed no sin. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. What a statement of faith. He himself, God in the flesh, bore my sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Do you love God? Do you want to find out more about him? Do you need to stalk God? You can find out who he is and what he's like in his revealed will. And what you will find is love, 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 love. Romans 3, 24 through 26. We know what verse 3:23 said. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace. This is God's grace, by the way. By his grace is a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Brother David Brown helped me in my lesson this morning by reading 1 Peter chapter 1 to us. The sinless blood of a lamb. Whose lamb? God's lamb. Never forget that Jesus is Jesus, but that's God's Son. I've told you before, you're not getting him. You're going down if that's the case. What do I know about God? He loved me enough to send his sinless Son and to let us crucify him. Are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, by a redeeming sacrifice to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Do you know that God loves you that much? Don't you want to know more? Don't you want to go be where he is? Don't you want to be with him? 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. The application for this lesson is simple. God can be seen in what is created. God can be known because of his revealed word. And God can be known by the life of Jesus Christ. But God can also be known by you and I. We are a message to the world. The way we live our lives, the way we thank God, the way we worship God, the way we do those things, the way we are different from the world. They declare to everybody that God is love, that God forgives, and that God can be known through his word, through his son, and through his children. Is God your father? Have you been born a child of God? You may have been born a child of your mother, but have you been born a child of your father in heaven? That is the question that we ask for you this morning. If you've never been born again of water and the Spirit, we want that for you. Come to know God today as we stand and we sing.